Tonight, I'd like to talk about handling stress as a Christian. Now, stress is defined as a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. You know, we've all felt the effects of stress when things are not going quite the way that we want them to. It can be a burden. It can be taxing and overwhelming. Let's read from Philippians 4 to see how we should react to such stressing things. We read here in Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." See here it says, be anxious for nothing, to not worry, to not have your mind centered on such things that take you away from God. It's easy to get distracted with these things of life. And yes, life can be hard, but things can be made better when you look at the whole picture. Realize that we are here on this earth, and time that we know is finite. We are just in a little sliver right here. But when you're able to look at the bigger picture, you're able to put things in a better perspective, and you can clear your mind and see that things aren't as big as we make them out to be sometimes. And not all stress is bad. Sometimes stress is good, because God uses that in a way that helps us grow and learn how to be better equipped for the things that this life will throw at us. A good way to not deal with stress is to not give in to it, not to give in to the emotions that we feel that we find ourselves experiencing when we have such pressing things going on around us, such circumstances. It's important to know and realize that when we do so, we tend to panic and overthink and worry and feel frustrated. These things, they don't do us any favors, and they don't help us get closer to reaching our goals at all. If you'll please now turn to Hebrews 4:16, we are glad to know that we have a Heavenly Father who is eager to help us out when we need such help with things. Hebrews 4:16 reads, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." See, our Heavenly Father knows the troubles of this life, and He is eager and more than willing to help us through the hard times that we may face in this life. We are expected to pray to Him and to trust Him to take care of the things that we may find troubling in our life. But life is a gift, and not solely a sentence of suffering. If you'll now please turn to Ecclesiastes 9, verses 7 through 10, King Solomon addresses how to look at life a little bit differently. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7 through 10. He says, "Go eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Now, some might read this and might find that to be bleak, but there's a lot of wisdom in this passage here. What I believe Solomon is trying to illustrate and address is that we should enjoy life. In other words, play hard as well as work hard. Because our time on this earth is not forever. We have a limited time on this earth. And so we should make opportunities to be joyous, to be grateful for what we have, for what God gives us, not to focus on the negative all the time, to actually take time to appreciate the blessings and gifts he has through our many material things that we have in our life, our homes, our shelters, our job, most importantly, our loved ones. That is a gift. If you'll turn to Matthew 6, verse 31 through 34, Jesus explains that God knows the needs that we have. And more importantly, he tells us, he instructs us not to worry about such things. Matthew 6, verse 31 through 34. He says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." God knows the things that we need before we even ask him. And if we but seek righteousness and do the things he commands of us, all that's going to be taken care of. We need not to worry about it so much. Like Paul, we should make an effort to be content in any situation that we might find ourselves. If we are experiencing tribulation, there's honor and glory in that. And if all things are going well, it's an occasion to be joyous and grateful. If you'll turn now to Mark 12, verse 30 through 31, we are able to prioritize the things in this life with such an example that Jesus gives us, the two most important commandments. Mark 12, verse 30-31. Jesus said to them, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." This passage right here, this is why we're here. This is why we are living this life. This should be able to prioritize anything that we might have going on in our lives. When we put God first, everything else falls into place, into order. We should make an effort to do this, to prioritize spiritual matters and God first and love with all the things and tasks that we might have on our to-do list, things that we have going on in our life. When we're able to do this, prioritize and even add or remove tasks that might be getting in the way of growing closer to God and with each other, we'll find ourselves to be more at peace and content with the situation of our own lives. If you'll now turn to Luke 10, verse 38 through 42, we have the example of the sisters Martha and Mary, and how stress can be distracting and might want to turn one away from those seeking righteousness. Luke 10, verse 38 through 42, we have the example of Martha and Mary. It reads, "Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" In this example here, Martha is worried about the things of this life that get distracting. She felt overwhelmed with the current company that she had and wanted to make a good impression on her guests. And Mary was driven and called to Jesus, for she wanted to know more and wanted to hear the things that she had to say, things that were good for her. And with Martha's intervention, she attempted but tried to get in the way of that. And Jesus was correct to correct her and saying that this is a good thing that she has chosen. Don't try to come in between it. Realize what's more important in this life. I think we can all learn from these passages and realize that some of the things that may become overwhelming in our life, when we take a second look at them through God's eyes, they're not that big a deal as we make them.